And you with Janine on SA Commuter. And today I have two wonderful entrepreneurs who started their journey. One is a musician and one who helps communities. My journey on radio has been quite an interesting one from 2000 to, what are we now, 2024, coming to the end of 2024. And on this journey, I've really met some fascinating and wonderful, warm human beings who do what they love. And when they do what they love, it comes across in everything that they do. And I was fortunate enough during COVID to watch a video of Petronel Bard, who was singing on stage. And I don't know, somebody put me in touch with her in Mossel Bay, and I can't remember how the connection worked. But when I met her, she was just such a lovely human being. We brought her on air with us, and she did a series called Petronel Herself. So I was very happy to say I've still got those recordings, and we're going to be using them over the next few months, which is great, because she really chatted to some interesting people. And I know people, especially South Africans living overseas, are going to want to hear those again. And those of you who haven't heard them. So today I was very fortunate to catch up with her during her busy Christmas season. To talk to us and catch up with where is Petronel. In fact, we should start like that. Where's Wally? We need to do a where is Petronel. Morning, Petronel. Thank you for being on air with us.
Good morning, Janine. I'm in Mossel Bay.
You're still in Mossel Bay. Oh,
my That's word. Just where I live. And the connection is actually, it's lovely to be here. Thank you, first off. The connection is Zandra Klapwijk, wonderful crafts icon, called Zandra Klapwijk. You know her, or you did an interview with her. She's got beautiful products.
She exports with Sapra, our sponsor.
That's right. A most delightful being, and she put you on my spoor.
Now I know how it came about. So tell me a little bit about you and how is Mossel Bay? I bet the weather's beautiful. Here it's been hot, but we had a storm last night of note, so it's cooled down somewhat. So hopefully we get a bit of water as well, because I think there's water shortages over. But happy to be chatting to you. And let me know a little bit where are you now?
Thank you. Yes, so it is December for us. And I've had a busy year, a very busy last term especially, with lots of tours, and I did a very special concert for the listeners who don't know. My career started with a music competition then called Artica Fair Crescendo. And this is 100 years ago because it was just before Idols hit the world. So this is 1999, and it turned 50. My career is about 25 years old, from the studies that I did. But this initiative itself was 50 this year. And they had a big concert and celebration in Stellenbosch. So I went there to perform as one of the legends, apparently.
A legend Crescendo. So long ago.
Yeah. Ek weet nie of het bieke kort is vir a legend, 25 years. But there was also Karen Hougaard with me, and Sarah Tron, and Real Beekes is a wonderful opera singer, one of South Africa's finest. Wow. And it's toured the world representing South Africa. And young upcoming talent as well, from nowadays more a talent agency. So some of the new beautiful voices coming from them. So this was the end of the year, and I also went to record with my colleague Sarah Tron. We're releasing a single together in the new year called Blow Flamink, beautiful poem that I arranged, written by Jacque Brits. And it's all about the continuous chase of life, you know, the continuous speed we live.
We know that.
And we know that. So that's what I'm trying to get at, is that I'm trying actually to, over the December, to take a bit of a break. I'm going to be off after this coming weekend, which is in current time, around about the 22nd of December. I'll stop for a bit until the 1st of January, and then it's just the roller coaster starts again. So you've got to take time to just enjoy the summer sun and the beautiful early mornings and nights, dusk evenings, you know.
But I think we also live in a country that encourages poetry. We went to go and look at, we were at in the audience of a show recently called Swinging Christmas. And we had people like Kirk Darren and Adam Howard and Monica Stain and Harry Sideropoulos. And, of course, the Mzansi Choir. Okay. And I just thought, how fortunate are we to live in a country where our talent is so overwhelming? And yet, I
Yeah.
think as South African audiences, as I said to some of my colleagues who were there with me, it's a pity we don't support, we don't turn out in droves to support our local talent as we do when an overseas person arrives. I think recently Chris Brown was here and he filled a stadium. Why don't we do the same for our local artists when we look at what you do and we
Absolutely.
listen to your music
Yeah.
and those of your
And
and those of your colleagues who sing as well as you do, who write poetry like you do, why we don't support you
absolutely.
as well as we do?
And also we support sport more easily. It's more accessible for crowds to do and support sport, which is lovely, which is also a good thing. But it's absolutely true. There's nothing better than going out and listening to some beautiful live music. I mean, it doesn't have to be a famous person at all. Just somebody that knows their craft, loves what they do, like you just said. And there are so many wonderful musicians. It is up to us as the public to support this wonderful trends and initiatives going out there. And it does so much for your own soul and for your own well-being. It is as important as drinking water and doing
Well,
exercise and
it's
to do,
interesting
yeah.
because, they sing your songs at sporting events. I mean, why they
Yeah.
shouldn't be using you to sing the national anthem is still beyond me because I'm still waiting for you to arrive in that stadium and sing our national anthem.
Oh,
So
goodness.
I
Maybe
always
they
look to
won't.
see who's singing.
Thank you. Hopefully, in the
You never know. Hey, I mean, you should
new
be overseas
year.
with our sporting
You
teams. They should be sending our local artists over with our sporting teams. I mean, they certainly spend a fortune sending people who know nothing about sport over when they should be
Sure,
sending our local
sure.
artists. Because if I look at the bodies that look after our artists, such as you, and I think to myself, why is there not a like there is a sporting body? Why is there not a music body that says, okay, guys, we're going to send you to London because we'd like you to do a series of tours to promote South African music, because South African music is made up of poetry and the soul. I mean, I'm half Afrikaans. My mum was Afrikaans. Well, I could say my whole soul is Afrikaans because, I mean, when I look at her family, with I think she was one of 13. So you can imagine I've got 126 cousins. I sound like a hillbilly from the US. And I
Yeah,
just
for
think
my
to
family,
my
it's six.
Yeah, there you
Six per
go.
family, so it's a bit down. We
So
still
you
have a
don't date
lot of
anyone in
people.
Mossel Bay in case you're related to them. So you have to kind of look at their lineage.
Janine, I've long since not stopped asking those questions. It's just it gets to a point where you realize just get in the car, get driving, get doing your own thing. because I've been part of the WCCC, which is the Western Cape Cultural Commission, for my second term now.
Oh, wow.
where I
Well
met.
done.
Thank you. But it's a 3-year term, and anybody can apply this into the cultures and arts. And we work with cultural houses and indigenous houses. Western Cape has a different approach to these cultural houses. They call it cultural houses, which is not, I think, the same as the rest of the country. So we've actually worked very hard to help change that, so they have a more recognized role in formal governing. These houses are the backbones of the communities. So what I'm saying with that is that I've always been involved, for the listeners, into the organizing of the chaos around me. I don't want to call it chaos, but a little bit of it is.
Music has to
And
be a bit chaotic because that's what brings out the
you
best in our
get
souls.
I organize shows. I'm involved with a cultural forum, Mokka. I've been for years. I've helped initiate it, brought it from the floor. And like me, many other artists have the same passion, so that we actually create opportunities also for upcoming artists as for ourselves, knowing that somebody has to pave the way for it to get better for
Absolutely.
going forward.
I completely agree. And as long as you're happy, like when we do radio and somebody says, oh, is it FM or is it AM? And I say, no, it's internet radio. And they kind of stop and look at me and say, oh, well, is that as good as being on FM? And I'll go, well, why not? Because we're now able to broadcast worldwide into every corner
Exactly.
of wherever any
Yeah.
South African has been, we are there. So we are pioneers of internet radio and internet TV, And we try and bring joy to everyone, no matter where they are. So through our efforts, and as
Awesome.
small as they may be, and it's somebody said to me the other day, "So how many listeners do you have?" I said, "You know what? It could be just my mom. It could be just my sister. It could be some old lady sitting in England, but does it matter? It doesn't matter because
No,
it's who it
no, it
reaches and
doesn't.
whose soul it touches.
No.
And that's what your music does. When I
Thank
remember
you.
during COVID and we used to listen to your music, we always had a load of comments to say, you know, it is wonderful to hear South African music. And because our music plays in the South African stores around the
Oh,
world, when you hear that Afrikaans accent, it doesn't matter that you left South Africa for whatever reason. Maybe you were hijacked, maybe it was financial, maybe you wanted to take your kids, who knows what the reason is. But when you go out of South Africa, you don't leave your South Africanness behind you. Your South Africanness goes with you, and you become our
what is
best
it?
ambassador. You tell your neighbors
Amen.
about the wonderful music. You tell your neighbors about the wonderful weather. You talk to your neighbors about why they need to visit South Africa and why they need to listen to South African music. And yet they don't live here. But that's okay
No.
because you don't leave who you, and you've never left your South Africanness behind you. You have enjoyed, if we
No.
listen to your music, you can hear that it doesn't matter whether it's just one person in the audience or whether you have 600,000 people in the audience. You have the
Yeah.
same enthusiasm, for want of a better word, but you have the same feeling for that song that you are singing. It
Yes.
doesn't matter who's listening. And well done to you for that.
So, thank you so much. What I did do when I started out is I realized very quickly, and like I said, this is 100 years ago, that
Could be longer.
the only person that jumps up to give you an opportunity is the speaker behind the voice. I struggle. I hope you're going to have a car key to cry. You mean? So you've got to make it happen. They say I'm a cabaret artist, that I specialize in cabaret. It's also born from different things. It's born from a sense of need to be able to get to an intimate audience, to have more impact. When it's a group of 40, 50, 60 people, something like that, smaller, bigger sometimes, where you really, especially at the time I started singing, it was a transition time in South Africa. So the power of music and poetry, like we said, and song and intimate circumstances, sharing a meal, sharing a song with different kinds of
Absolutely.
people, different kinds of artists, really built the timber that we need for this country that we love so much. And South Africans are amazing people. That's just our Africanness that you're talking about. And then of course it also is a very practical solution, because apart from the theaters we have in some of the towns and cities, we have a vast rural area. So what is easier than playing in a little supper
Called the
theater,
Karoo,
a
darling.
vast
It's
concert?
called Mr.
Maar verstaan jy, jy gaan in die kerk sal speel of in die kerk sing, of jy gaan by die
Absolutely.
tannie wat die lokale pastye verkoop in haar restaurant, of daar's fabulous goed op die platteland, make no mistake, wonderful, interesting venues,
And you
and
know, they
it's
want
for the
to
love
meet you.
to
They want to come up and say, you are such a star that if ever you feel like nobody appreciates you,
go.
I get in my car and I drive to Craddock, which is one of our favorite spots. It's a place called Die Teeshuise in Victoria Manor. And Lisa and her mom are just amazing people. I met them on my journey somewhere. And every time I go, they ask me to stay for a night, and then it's 2 nights, and then it's 3 nights, and then it ends up being a week because I have to meet all these people. And you know, I realize my worth to not only myself, but to others who don't have a voice. So I
Exactly.
then have this wonderful trip and I come back feeling all recharged and realize that, you know what, I do bring joy to people, irrespective of
Course.
not knowing who. And you have to go out and reach that audience. It's like creating a CD, but not meeting the people who listen to that CD. It's only when you meet them that you realize which part of your music touches their soul and who it touches. Because you've met
It's
them, they want a
true.
photograph, you know? They want to stand with you, you know? I just love that
But
about you and about your music because we follow you on Facebook.
oh,
And
thank
just, well, you know what? It's the
you.
one place I know everybody kind of does the whole, oh my word, I don't use Facebook because it's a terrible place. You know what? It has its uses. And its uses of following someone like you, where we can see what you're up to, we wouldn't be able to do that
Yes.
otherwise, because we can pop up on
Listen,
Facebook and see where you
absolutely.
are.
The thing that social media has done, it has definitely has some very bad things about it as well, but for sure. But it has given us the power to reach our audience. Before that, it was more. It is always controlled, but it was more controlled. Who gets in the paper? Who gets at the festivals? Who gets on television is controlled by whoever makes the most money of it, I guess, or something like that.
Absolutely. I
I'm not,
still have no idea. And I
you
mean, I've been working with social, everybody says I'm a social media queen, but I'm not really. You know what? I go
know.
follow the people I want to follow. When I see silly stuff that I don't want to follow, I just say block. It's such a lovely word, block. So you can just go, I don't want to see that content again. So you can build your social media around almost like inviting people into your home that you want to surround yourself with. So it's a choice. And people forget they have a choice. You know, so
Yes.
I know that one of our tourism guys, his name is Alain Saint-Ange, he is the former tourism minister for Seychelles. We're encouraging him to come and do a series of talks through South Africa. And he said, because he was in power when the South Africans went over to go and overthrow the government. So he was in power at the time when our mercenaries were locked up. I mean, we can't get it always right. So that was one time we didn't get it right. But he openly talks about that. But I said to him, he's got such a lovely, like a lovely speech that he has together about tourism, about putting together Africans and how Africans should travel to see Africa, that I've invited him to come and speak in South Africa. And his first question was, so which towns are we? Durban, Cape Town, Joburg? I said, none of them. And he went, oh, so where are we going? I said, we're getting in the car. And no, you're not flying because I have to show you my country. I have
That's
to take
beautiful.
you to Kronstadt. I have to take you to Craddock. I have to take you to Clarence. I have to take you and show you where I come from. This is my world. So as you would say, the
Muscle
big
Bay.
Yeah, Mossel Bay. We will absolutely come to Mossel Bay because we want you to meet him. And I want him to meet you. And I want him to say, please come to the Seychelles as my guest. We would love to share your music
Now
with
we're
them.
talking.
And we're doing that intercultural thing because it's only through that that we can actually start to mix our cultures and take your music further and outside of the country, because he would have met you, he would have made, and he's not a promoter, he's not a one of those sharks that really don't appreciate you as an artist. It's just what can I do for for a bigger audience. He's taking you as a soul into his country where his soul exists. And we want to
That's
try
the
and do
song.
that more through Africa. So
Beautiful.
I've started something called Tourism Talks, where I want to expand South Africa's market into Africa, because you know we don't seem to do that. We seem to want to go sing in London, and I'm not saying that it's you, but I'm saying there's somebody who wants to sing and they think I've got to go to London or Hollywood. What's wrong with Nairobi and you know places like Entebbe? And because there they would fill the stadium just to listen to music from the soul of Africa. So why not do
Absolutely.
Africa, you know?
No, we must. I know, for instance, there's a very big rock festival that happens once a year, STRAB in Mozambique. In 2015, AFI does not exist anymore, but it was then the African Arts Institute. It's a pity it doesn't exist anymore. But through them, I was one of delegates of 20 countries out of Africa that were selected to,
Oh, my
and I'm very
word.
grateful. But for a course in Cape Town, we connected with each other. This is 9 years ago. It was from all over, from Cairo, from Ahyana, the Gambia, and we still have connections via the internet, via social media. Just the other day, I posted a video of myself performing with a beautiful local philharmonic ensemble from locals that just loves to play and work their craft. And he loved it. Just one friend of mine, he just shared it everywhere. So then it goes
That's
into Africa.
amazing.
It's amazing. So yes, I fully agree with that.
What is
And
your
also, I
journey
just
for
want to
2025?
for 2025,
Because we want to hear now more about Petronel and what's your journey for 2025, so we can catch up and actually listen to your music.
yes, I wanted to say, just to add to that, about the power of Facebook, which Well, in social media, is that it does help me to lure people to my website, which is available
Awesome.
at peternalbauer.com. And also, there are all kinds of links of the music, of the shows. So I'm working with a wonderful poet called Louisa Pint-Fouchier, and we're doing a whole project of her. I've been commissioned to do 10 of her poems as with music
Wow.
that we'll be releasing, and I'm hoping this will become a show and more, because she's also a visual artist. So this is a lady from Prince Albert, and it's in the wraps for if
America's
there's
Got
any.
Talent, here we come.
It's a profound. She's a profound artist, and the music just flows when I work with the poetry. And then I'm
Wonderful.
releasing the song with Sarah Tron, called Blue Flamingo, which is also an arrangement that I did. And we will be doing a show together as well, so to celebrate that, and we'll be touring with that. But because and then there's another poet I'm working with. I'm working with a lot of poets recently. This has now come forth from this year that I finally realized that arranging poetry is something I love to do, and that I do quite well, because you've got to find what works for you, as a musician, as a person, all of us. What is the thing that you like doing most? Is it baking
Absolutely.
this?
They're
Is it
not
doing that?
copying someone
No,
else. No,
your
I
own
agree.
voice.
I
So
agree.
I always have a solo show as well that I toured the Platteland with, or whoever wants me. I did a beautiful rendition of Boerne. Well, I think it's beautiful. A beautiful rendition of Boerne's Die Berggans Het 'n Veer Laat Val. And I'm doing a show titled that is solely made up of arrangements I've done of poetry, all kinds of different writers, all kinds of different voices, Afrikaans and English. And then there's two other writers that I do shows with. The one is Hannes Visser. He's a published writer from Oudtshoorn called Awesome Hall, where you breathe through poetry and
Absolutely.
music. And Liddy de Vaal, who's also an artist. So a lot of different shows, some extracurricular, is the word. Daar is goed in die pipeline nog met die government, miskien met die kultuurkommissie. Ek sal sien wat kom daarvan. Ja, so as always, just busy,
Busy, yeah.
and I also work as a mentor for them now and then. So that is basically what's lying
But
ahead.
isn't it amazing that you talk of poetry and how poetry really shapes our lives? We don't realize it. When we do poetry at school, we always kind of think, oh, this is just, I have to
Oh.
do this because I've got to do it to get through
Oh,
school and all
yeah.
the rest. And I've discovered since when I was at school, I used to write my own poetry. I still do. I
Wow.
write a huge amount and I write on Facebook. And then somebody will say to me, like when I visit somewhere, I went to visit Uganda, I wrote a poem about She Is My Uganda because I just fell in love with the country and I had to write something that wasn't a story. I had to put what I felt in a poem, if you like. And somebody then phoned me and said, well, I write a poem for them. And it took me about 2 months to reply and said, I can't, because I don't know, I can't write for you. And she said, but you write so beautifully, and my daughter who passed away loves butterflies. And I just had to apologize and say, you know what? I write from my soul, and my soul didn't know your daughter. And as much as I wanted to help her, I couldn't do it justice. I was going to write something that didn't mean anything, and I could never write that. Even when I do my interviews, I will only interview people I really want to talk to, because otherwise the
Yes,
interview
amazing.
doesn't mean anything. So I've continued to
So
write.
she should write down what she feels, and it doesn't have to rhyme. She should be the one writing that poem. And poetry,
Absolutely. Yeah. But
it
she's
lets it
since
feel. It
passed
doesn't just.
away. She's passed away and has now
Awesome.
joined her daughter. So
Oh,
I always felt bad that I
darling.
didn't pursue it, but I just couldn't do it justice, and I just felt I would rather not do something than do something badly, because
Absolutely,
it
yeah.
just wouldn't come across. But that's what poetry does. Poetry, and you start with a poem and you end with a song. And that, I
Yeah,
think, is most musicians, I would imagine.
it's just the next step, you see, from with the poetry. I do write my own words and wording as well, and text as well. But it's just that, sometimes I just find it. I love doing arrangements, and this is something that really took off during COVID when I met you, because I started working with Core Distrust, Fanny Marie, and his daughter passed away at 21. So I wrote a whole production built around her poetry and
Wow.
arrangements I did, and also original music from scratch. So and I think it's really just blossomed since then, more and more into even this past year, I went to the Glencoe National Festival with two writers and another singer in a production called Tweeluik, like which is a
Wow.
series of two books, or and so two singers, two writers, Jan van Tonder and Jeanette Paul. They're quite well-known writers, and yeah, just how the music echoes the themes in their books. So it's just become the story of my life. I seem
I think that's
it's a
wonderful,
poem.
though. You know what? It just echoes what people, and especially our young people who are suffering with mental health issues and things like that. When I listen to your music and I know that it comes from your soul, we try and encourage them to also write, but they're so afraid of being judged. This whole thing with social media has created
Sure.
a generation of judges, if you like, where they judge
Yes.
people for doing something as opposed to applauding them for coming forward, for writing a poem about what they're going through. Rather applaud them, don't sort of criticize the lack of spelling or their lack of grammar or whatever it may be, you know, the fact that they're undergoing mental health. So watching people like yourself and encouraging people, because you openly say that I'm a poet and then I'm a singer, so people now recognize that it's really okay. It's not a silly thing. You don't have to be a production writer to be to touch people's
Yes.
souls. And it's thanks to people like
Yeah.
yourself and Mosselbaai
Yay.
that
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know the one place where you can actually be lenient with it. I don't like the way people are. It's spelling and grammar is important. You've got to
it
keep
absolutely is.
but in poetry, you do have more lenience to actually just be yourself and write the words as you hear them. We've got a whole discussion in Afrikaans going, for instance, especially with Afrikaans is being celebrated in 2025.
Oh,
For
nice.
100
Wow.
years, it's celebrating a certain 100 years as an official country language of the country. Okay. But it's much older than 100 years, obviously. And with that, all the questions that comes up, these the Afrikaans, the Cape version of it, the colored version, I want to say, is a different Afrikaans in a way, as what the as they call it standard Afrikaans, which is questionable as well, because what is really standard? You know, who spoke it first? So
Absolutely.
it raises questions. But I like that because, especially in Medicaid colored, I think you said to Cape Nima, there's nogal significantly there's a very specific way of expressing words, and they've come to acknowledge how the spelling changes with that in order to portray the actual pronunciation of how
Absolutely.
they say certain words. And they call it a dialect at this point, but the discussions are still open. This language started as a dikombuistaal, and it is in die Slawiese mond van daai tyd gebore. So
Wow.
jy moet die wortels van die taal respekteer. Ons het ja, ag en ek ken soveel mense wat ook baie met die Khoi heritage werk wat die tale wat dis die een taal wat amper heeltemal verlore is, daar's nog skaars mense wat dit kan praat. So ag, you know, it's all very important to me. It was my privilege to meet the National Conference, the Griqua National Conference of South Africa this year. I was in the headquarters as part of the work with the WCCC. Now, Janine, these are the people who brought Saartjie Baartman home,
Oh, wow.
her remains home,
Really?
and there's a proud organization. This Alice Vosetel Naby Plet, die oh die die naam van die dorp is op die tip van my tong, maar dit gaan nou uit, maar dit is 'n baie bekende baken in hulle it's yeah, but an interesting history. And the headquarters, I met their Wolfman, they
Wow.
can prove lineage over 100 years. Maar die kultuur en die organisasie van hierdie mense, hoe hulle 'n gemeenskap ophelp deur kuns en kultuur en gemeenskapswerk, en it was astounding. I was so very moved and humbled when I walked out, and I just realized again that we have absolute amazing power in the people of South Africa, whether they are rich, whether they are acknowledged as they should be yet or not. But it is in our power to help that make happen, to help that to happen. Jy weet, en as musiek dit kan aanhelp, laat ons besef ons diversiteit is ons grootste krag. En my 2025 just bring more of that juice.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, in closing, I also want to say that I always feel sorry for people who are deaf, because even though they can feel music, they can't hear the soul. And that I think is something that they miss more than anything, is what they can hear. Because when I'm overseas and I hear an Afrikaans or a South African accent, I can even be watching a program from the UK and I go, oh, he's South African.
<Don't miss it.
laughs> We have such a distinct way of
communicating. Sounds to communicate above that. I think I've often thought of our artists do shows for deaf people, because they do. Janie de Toy is one of them who's done performances for deaf people specifically. So they use different methods. I think visual aid is more there also, but there's a vibration that they can physically feel with the music. Eh? And this is the thing.
No, no, listen, no. They definitely get the vibration, but it's kind of more, I wish they could hear the accent. Or the,
yes,
you know, so I feel so bad for them, because I think, oh, you know what, there's so much you're missing. It's not your fault. I'm just saying, I wish we could share that to those people
course.
As well, you know, but obviously we can't. But it's been such a pleasure, Petronelle. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. Such a lovely chat, and always nice to chat to you. Tell us where we can find your upcoming shows, how we can get in touch. What's the way forward?
The easiest is to go to my website, petronellebaard.com. Petronelle Baard, like you shave it. And Petronelle is all one letter P. Petronelle. So it's quite easy. And there is a pop-up that comes up where you can join a WhatsApp group. And there's also very direct links to my Facebook pages. And actually, recently, I've started to start listing the next two upcoming shows as well on the web page.
Oh, that's
and
such
I just want to say, Internet Radio. Yeah, no, we must. Listen, Internet Radio is taking over in any case, so don't you worry about anybody saying anything about AP or AM. I'm going to buy them.
You know what? I'm like you. It doesn't worry me at all, because I enjoy it, and my enjoyment filters through all my mates and my family, and it grows through them, because what's really
You're quite
nice
a
about
force.
Absolutely. And we don't have to worry about breaking on time for sponsors, messages, and cutting this chat in half because we have to go somewhere else, and I can speak to you and hear what's in your heart for as long as we love to chat, and that's what I love the most. And it enjoys
thank
and people me. Outside of our country enjoys that too. So once again, Petronelle, thank you so much. I'm Janine Preston. And of course, having just come back from the break, we are now going to talk to Andries, who is part of a community project out near the open gate of the Kruger. And I was fortunate enough to bump into him, and he took us on a community tour, which was really awesome. And this recording was done in the rain on the tin roof, so the sound is not quite the same, but enjoy it anyway. It's been an amazing day, actually, because we're close to the Kruger, quite close to the Kruger. In fact, we're right by the open gate, Kruger. Yesterday, we had the opportunity of driving through Manyaleti, which is after Nelson Mandela took over in 1994. He brought down the fences between Kruger and some of the parks around it, and Manyaleti was one of them. So, great drive, invited by the Open Kruger Lodge to come and visit and see what it was like on the open side of the world. Quite an easy drive from Johannesburg, didn't take us long at all, took us about 5 hours. Not a bad drive, and I must admit, the scenery is stunning. After you pass Dullstroom, the scenery changes and it's totally mountainous. So quite beautiful, entered the dryness, of course, of the Kruger area, because the road that we came in on, one side is Limpopo and one side is Mpumalanga. So it was quite fun to have a divided road between the two. In fact, it was interesting to be driving on a border. So when you look at the map, you're actually driving on a border. Yeah. And this morning we were met by Andries Sheshlangu, who is the liaison officer for
the lodge, as well as the Wild Olive Tree, which is the community project, a glamping camp, tented camp, between the lodge and the glamping camp, which is a community. And there is an interesting story behind how the community is married to the Open Lodge. And I think if we could learn more about how communities can live side by side with luxury lodges, the lodges would then support the community and there's no fighting between the two. And this morning when we met, our first stop was at a farm which supports the lodge. So where we have the farm to table, it's a reality. And Andries, tell us a little bit more about this farm, and welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for this opportunity to talk about the lodge and the relationship between the lodge and the community, SMMEs, which is a great thing. Firstly, let me just take you a bit of a background. With the whole initiative, when we started, we noticed that through the CBNRM, community based on natural resource management, we can teach our community to conserve nature, to look after the natural resources, but turning it into a viable economic concept, which is going to benefit them, whereby we wanted to establish a lodge that will bring the SMMEs to be part, to benefit indirect and directly. The community should be employed and get job opportunities. So, as you said, we first went to the farm, whereby a young entrepreneur started a funeral parlor, but brought more businesses into the funeral parlor. As you know, that during the funeral services that is being who are customers of the funeral parlors, they need to eat at the end of the day, so going to buy vegetables to cater their clients as part of the package of the service that they provide. So he established a farm where he grew different kind of vegetables, which he was supplying to the community and the farm, and also the marketing escalated to the nearby lodges to support the people or the SMMEs from the community, so that also that would be adding the number of the employment or job creation from the community. So Nyeleti Vegetable Farm is where we went to. So, and there are 8 women employed permanently and the 6 men working in the farm. So that means in total are 14. So that makes a difference. So so they supply the lodge, the open cougar.
It's a bit of kind of what they call farm to table, because that's for real.
Yes.
Often we see the food that we eat in a lodge,
yes,
they say is from around the area,
yes,
but in fact is brought into a big truck.
Yes.
It's frozen, it's cold storage. Mm. It tastes completely different.
Yes.
But now that we're supplying directly, because we were with you this morning when,
yeah,
we in fact bought some of the vegetables, yes, that we're going to be eating tonight.
Exactly.
It was great to see the work, and we met his dad,
yes,
and apparently the chap,
yeah,
didn't pass away,
yes,
so we met his dad who continued his legacy,
yes.
Good to see that everything was rural,
yeah,
and in such a way that you didn't see big steel machinery,
yeah. Yeah.
churning out the vegetables. It was hand washed. It was first of all hand picked, because we watched the one lady picking tomatoes, the cherry tomatoes.
Yeah.
She then brought it to the shed. There were a bunch of ladies who were washing the vegetables, and the one lady was breaking off the stalks of the spinach and checking to see which was grade A and which were, and they were put into what we call plastic checkers bags. So she was sort of saying, okay, this is enough, and then it's weighed, beautifully packaged, and then sent off to your packing plant, because now it had been washed and sealed, and it was so interesting to see that people who, often you see these big plants, forget that humans are the ones at the end of the day that make things work.
Yeah.
So it was really nice to see the community supplying. And when we asked, as we, as you translated for us, were they able to produce by order? And they said, yes, they produce by order, but they also go out and encourage lodges to buy the produce or to say, what would you like us to grow? And then they also talked about the water shortages, because being in the Kruger, it's a bit dry. So they have the challenges, but they have boreholes. So it's a successful community project in that they don't say, woe is us, we don't have water, who's going to help us? They simply said, well, we need water, how do we get it? Borehole. Let's go and get the borehole, let's make it work. So well done to them on that, on that success story.
And they're using organic.
The organic manure, so it meant that the plants remained organic as they grew. And I noticed they did have shade cloth where they could. Because I think the hot sun could do a fair amount of damage. So well done on that one as well. We, in fact, bought some spinach, some spring onions, and we bought some mint. And we can't wait to get it home. Because I mean, it was 25 rand a punnet compared to 25 rand for 7 leaves. And that's because you have all the middlemen. You have the packing plant, you have the transport, you have the distribution, you have the market, then you finally have the supermarket, and then you have me. Yeah, I didn't have that. So we really should look at doing more of those initiatives, especially since we have so many lodges in this country. We have something like 6,500 lodges. Are you telling me we can't support at least 600 farms? And I think you guys are a beacon for that. And I think it would be so awesome if you went out into other communities and said, we're here to show you what we did to be successful. So then we left the farm and off we went to our next project. And the next project, if I remember correctly,
it was the processing of the African chocolate.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That was actually quite, and it was the first time, I'm sad to say, but that I was in a township house that had a corrugated iron roof. And I must say it was really warm. I was quite surprised. And having met the family of ladies. So tell us a little bit about what we saw.
What we saw is to see the process from step one to prepare an African chocolate, where they roast peanuts and maize corns. And
the maize corns are a bit like popcorn.
Yeah.
Like we know as popcorn.
So they roasted them and mixed together, and they put it into the mortar and they grind it with the...
but it's all done by hand. There was no steel machinery anywhere.
It's done by hands, and they do the process until to the final, where we also participated in doing it.
And it became a bit of a paste. And then it's the paste that they serve. It's a bit like peanut butter by the time we're finished. And you were telling us a story about where that all came about.
So this was used anciently, because the people were moving from here to like Kimberley, going to look for a job. So it's a long distance where they can travel 3, 4, 5 days, so they couldn't carry the food, but they could carry this one and a bottle of water. They eat it and they drink water, then
and it sustains them.
Yeah, sustains them for 4, 5 days, and then so that was very much popular. So, and it's very rich, and healthy. So they use it. So even
and
now,
you also
still
said they
used.
Use it for special occasions.
Yes.
So when there's
during
a wedding,
lobola.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's being used. So yeah.
And watching the two ladies, because it was a mom and her two daughters.
Yeah.
The two daughters began the process, and then the mom came in and finished it.
Yes.
She had to sign it off.
Yeah.
Because she was the supervisor.
Exactly.
So well done on that one.
Yeah.
When we left.
So the skills are being transferred to the younger generation.
The younger generation.
So which is a good thing. So, yeah. So,
what
and
tradition
what we,
would you say that was?
It's a Shangani tradition.
Shangani.
And here we trying to incorporate that into the lodge, whereby the guests can go and buy it and see the and experience the process of it and could pay something so that whatever people do culturally in the village should know that it can bring some income,
something income
and
absolutely.
Come and make and then they buy food and in order to live. So there is nothing that it's useless in the community or in the whatever we do with our own hands, but it brings food on the table at the end of the day. So we're promoting that so that it can be used. So from that point we move to the craft market.
Oh, but before the craft market, we passed a school.
Yes.
And
yeah,
we passed the Weltevreden school.
Yes, yes, yes.
And you told us a fascinating story of how that school began
yeah.
from the missionaries in the 50s to where it is today.
Yes. Yeah, in the missionaries of the Church of the Nazarene came in 1952 and established Weltevreden Primary School. Weltevreden means well deserved. So they built a school with a wall mat and roofed with touching grass, and it was only a one room. So it started that way, and later they built with the small bricks, but he would roof to it corrugated iron, and then so the school started and it grows, and they extended up to five classrooms, which were collecting 10 rand per child every year. And the child will also
so each child produced 10 rand a year.
Yes.
So all it had to do was bring 10 rand to school as their contribution.
Exactly, for the fundraising. And they were using it to buy cement. But the parents come and make bricks voluntarily. And also the children
so
were collecting stone.
So a community project for real.
Yeah. And the children also were bringing stone every morning that were used for foundation, and also a 5 liter of building sand and river sand for the formation of the bricks and the building the wall. So the children and the parents were contributing in the building of the school. So and through that process, the first student who were part of the beginning of the school was the former minister of Gazankulu Homeland, which is J.B. Mnisi. So that school managed to produce a principal for the school, and they later on produced a minister.
Wow.
So through that process of involving everyone in the community to build a school. So that is a nice journey. And from that school, we managed to build a high school and two additional primary schools, which were the money to build those three schools were fundraised from this primary school of Weltevreden. So the system of 10 rand per children continued until these other two primary schools and the secondary school were built. So which means teamwork works.
It absolutely does.
Yeah, so we experienced that. So that brought development into
welfare. And it also,
welfare.
The community then appreciate the school, and there's no vandalism, there's no, because they built it, and between everybody.
Yes, yes.
And the person who vandalizes it, well, heaven help them, because the community will hunt them down.
Exactly.
And because it wasn't funded, as it were, and it was funded out of those who attended the school,
yes.
It meant that it's still standing perfectly today.
Exactly. So, I agree with you. I remember some other times there was another principal, he was from outside. He came at night with a buggy and steal the cement.
No.
That was supposed to be used to build a school. And the neighbors from the school noticed that vehicle, that no, this is very much suspicious. Then they wake up and call each other and approach the vehicle. They found that he's the principal of the school.
No.
And then they chased him away. They fired him
the
immediately.
The fact that he was still alive.
Yes.
There was no CCMA case for him.
Yes.
So they
chased him, and then so they brought the principal, J.P. Mancini, who is the one who was championing the issue of collecting or fundraising to build the other three schools. So,
wow.
Yeah, so the sustainability of each project, that taught us that if a person is from within the village itself, there is a sustainability, because he's working, because he's from the village, and he's doing it for himself and for his children. So he's doing it he's not doing it just for the sake of a job, but he's doing it to develop the community, to see a change in his
And
community.
We saw that at the next stop, which was the craft market.
Yes.
It wasn't a buzzing craft market, it was a developing craft market,
yes.
Where these ladies were making things or buying things to sell within their community,
yes.
Obviously raising money the same way.
Yes. So, definitely, because we realized that there was a lot of deforestation, and mostly by women, because they cut the old tree purposely to dry them for firewood, because they had to cook for the
Correct.
Family. And so we just brought this concept that no, we should teach the women as a part of the project of women empowerment, and that through craft markets and the beads, making beads using the fruits and of the trees, they can generate income, because they can bring the tourists to them and buy the craft. So that is how that project started.
But you know what's interesting? You talk about deforestation.
Yes.
Up in Africa, and especially East Africa, they have started to realize that deforestation is a big issue.
Yes.
Because as our population grows, so the need for firewood and etc. grows too. But it doesn't mean to say our trees grow at the same pace.
No.
So what they've started doing is each village has an elder who kind of is a mayor, if you want, and he looks after the villages.
Mm.
He is appointed by the villages, and he's responsible for making sure that they sustain the area around them. So what they started doing is if you want to cut down a tree, you have to plant five more.
Mm.
So they are given, they have to go to, if you like, the town hall, and it may be a hut, I'm not sure what it is, but they go there, they have to get their five saplings, they are then given a permit to cut a tree down, they take those saplings and they plant them, and they're then allowed to cut the tree down. So what's happening now is there is this total refurbishing, if you like, of the forests, because they are reforesting by the use of saying, if you cut that tree down, we're going to fine you. And the way to avoid that fine is you have to plant five more.
Yeah, yeah.
So well done to them.
Yeah.
Some of the other things that they're also doing with regard to like farming and things like that, the lodges, besides buying from them, they also trade with each other.
Yeah.
So let's say there's five farmers, farmer one, farmer two, farmer three, farmer four. They each grow a different crop.
Yeah.
So farmer one grows tomatoes, farmer two grows onions, farmer three grows sweet potatoes.
Mm.
And they buy from each of those farmers. And what's left is they can trade with each other.
Yeah.
So the lady who grows tomatoes can give tomatoes to the lady who grows onions, and they trade.
Yeah.
So a lot of that is happening within the community where the draw card is the lodge.
Yeah.
But around them, there's a lot of those community nature walk. They have communities where you walk through the community. And you experience the dancing, the drumming, the very much like we did today, except it was raining, so walking was was a tad difficult. So nice to have rain in the Kruger. But normally it's a walk through, like a nature walk. So involving the community as much as they can. Where the crafting is concerned, they actually take the crafts that the ladies make and they sell them into the lodge. So what happens is, we went to go and see gorillas, for instance. They had bought the ladies their a t-shirt making machine. So what happens is, they make these t-shirts and those are the ones that we buy. And yes, the collar's a little skew or whatever, but you know, the good thing is, when we bought that, we knew that we weren't buying a Dolce and Gabbana or or something like that. We were buying something the community made. We bought something the community made. So I think one of the nicest things is having had the community make them makes so much difference. Because whatever we bought in the craft shops was made by the community. So there was nothing that was perfect. It didn't have a made in China sticker. It was, in fact, the lodges that bought that craft. And I appreciated that. In fact, we saw a lady making a craft basket. And she invited us to make this basket. Well, I must tell you, I have a new respect for craft makers. Because Keith and I took an hour and we never got past the first inch. And apparently they take a week to make those baskets. So whoever goes and sees these baskets had better appreciate them, because the ladies who make them are serious artisans. You know, so I was happy to see that a lot of the stuff was made by themselves, which I think is so important. I mean, I even saw a basket made of sweet wrappers. Well done to them, because that's sustainability. It's taking something and my sister makes, for instance, she takes grocery bags, plastic bags, and she makes mats from them for
which is the dogs. Recycling at the same
time. It's a recycle.
Yeah.
I mean, they're now recycling plastic into tombstones for, we talked about funeral parlors earlier. They're actually taking plastic and making tombstones out of
it.
So that's pretty cool. So we went from the craft market, we drove across to the water. So tell us a little bit about the water scheme.
Okay. About the water scheme, is that Valfardin has got a challenge of water. The only source of water is a borehole, the groundwater. And then, as we get the water, it's very salty. So this project of water processing, it's we installed the system of purification, which is funded by Tekie Embassy, which is TIKA. And then, so
they basically said, here's a community that can work. Let's put something in where they can sustain themselves and make money from. Because that's the idea of the business.
And at the same time, we give the children from the creche and locally from the local communities a healthy water. Purified one with which is not salty for drinking purposes and all that.
But it also saves the whole issue of things like cholera and those
kinds
of issues.
Exactly. So it's healthy.
A
so
healthy
it addresses
community
a lot
means
of
a healthy lodge
healthy challenges, and they also help the lodges not to go far away and buy water, but they buy local.
Money.
So and that give the sustainability towards conservation, and where the conservation, tourism, and economy are merged together. So, because as the lodges support the community SMMEs, and then that it's a return favor that the community gives to the lodges, where we don't expect sabotaging from the community to the lodges, and the stealing from the lodges. So the lodges and the community, they work together to protect the lodges and the conservation issues.
And I must say, when we drove into that area, it wasn't protected by burglar alarms and by great big fences, and it was an open
but
area.
But it's safe. But everything is safe. So that means everyone is watching.
Because it's the income stream.
Exactly. So, so that also is part of the job creation, the HOTA project, and whereby we're looking forward for all the nearby lodges to support the project.
Because one of the things I did notice was that you use plastic bottles.
Yeah.
Big no-no when it comes to sustainability, because obviously the world doesn't need more plastic.
Exactly.
But you know what might be quite a nice idea? We were in East Africa.
Okay.
And we noticed at one of the lodges we went to, they had what they call these aluminium kind of water bottles.
Yes, yeah.
It had their branding on it with some beading.
Yeah.
And it had a sign next to it and said, please buy one of our bottles.
Yeah.
Because then you can help yourself to water around the lodge.
Yeah.
We are trying to do away with plastic.
Yeah.
So what they did was they had a big, almost like, I suppose, a big glass bottle of water with a tap at the bottom.
Yeah.
And you could help yourself at any time and fill your water bottle. And take your water bottle home with you. Because in that same note that they gave us in our room, they said that the cost of the water bottle, the proceeds go to the local communities to help them. And the bottle and the beading and everything comes from them. So that may be a nice extension to what you're doing.
Because it would be a refill.
It's just saying, listen, now let's do a refill. We'll bring you a big vat of water. And you then hand these things, because then it's got your community name on it, it's got, and people take it back to Germany. They won't take your plastic bottle, but they'll certainly take your aluminium bottle.
Wow, that's great. Yeah, that's a great idea.
So it just helps to carry your brand, you know. So well done to you for that initiative.
Yeah.
And for starting something that makes money for the community. And it's definitely something lodges can do with.
Yeah, yeah.
So all the things you've done are very entrepreneurial. Because if you think about it, South Africa is a really great place for entrepreneurs.
Yes.
And you've now, in your community and your connection to the Wild Olive, is being able to create entrepreneurs within your community.
Yeah,
I looked at the farm. I looked at the... You took us to another farm that grew okra. The guy had a house, and he'd simply turned his garden into an okra growing.
Yeah.
And I thought, here is South Africa at its best.
Yeah.
South Africa has created entrepreneurs to work together to create a sustainable community, because they're looking after each other.
Yes.
So it's so nice to see a community.
Yeah.
You know, communities can be so ugly sometimes.
Yeah.
Because they don't always want the best for their neighbor. They want to be better than their neighbor.
Yes.
But when I look at what you guys have achieved here, everybody's saying, we want our community to do better. So we have to create almost a corporate of entrepreneurs. So I love that whole entrepreneurial spirit and everything that you've developed.
Yeah.
So well
done
to you.
It's a good pilot project.
And I really think you need to take this pilot project around the country.
Yes.
You know, you need to just take it and say to communities, listen, we're coming to visit. We're coming to teach you guys. And you know what? Even if one person attends, it's one person that didn't have. Because that person will go. And I know a company, a community like Craddock, there is one lodge or series of lodges called Die Tayshuise. They have 34 houses and a hotel. And it really sustains the town. And they are so involved in developing their community, because they have a poor... almost a poor colored community. It's a struggle for jobs. It's a struggle to find employment. But what you've done here is a great model, and I know they would gladly invite you to say, what can we do here by learning from you? So either they come here or you go there, or whichever way the trade works. I think it is a beacon of light.
Yes.
It's a beacon of hope for South Africa.
Yeah, for sure.
So thank you so much for taking us this morning and showing us what you're doing.
No,
and I hope the rest of the world will take notice that we're not a third world country. Actually, we're a first world.
So, thanks very much. Also, we're trying very hard to ensure that there is a working relationship between the community and these lodges. There is also an entrepreneur who's doing the recycling, taking the waste from the from the lodges and recycle them in the community.
And there again is our entrepreneur, and you pay him to do that because it's a job.
Exactly.
And he is responsible for that.
And there are people who are working for him doing all those jobs. So, yeah, we are uplifting each other.
And it's important that people get paid.
Exactly.
Because when they get paid, they are then responsible. Yes. Then you can say, guys, you are responsible. Why did you not do this, or why didn't you do that?
Exactly.
Because that's where they learn.
Exactly.
And how do people find you?
So, as a liaising officer, we send a message to the community, even when there's a community meeting, that there are these opportunities that you can go for in the lodges, and then they come. And
so do they just phone the lodge? Do they email you or phone you?
They go through me.
Yes.
Then I made an arrangement to meet between the manager of the lodge and the
fabulous. And
the
person. And do they find you
then
by email?
From there, yes.
What's
they
your
do.
Email?
It's Andres Sehlangu.
Oh, that's a good spelling. Oh, thank you so much for that. You want to spell that?
And my phone number is 073-1669-7488. That's it.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
And thank you so much for joining us.
Okay.
It was really, really nice to talk to you.
Me too. Thanks for the opportunity to give us an opportunity to share these beautiful stories with you, and then so that so we welcome everybody must come and go for the village tour, and that will be so beneficial to the community in terms of the mutual benefits, and also you also share the experiences of our culture and tradition around the area.
Thank you so much. I'm Janine Preston.